Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
Jambo, fellow adventurers, this is Mike Dooley, and you are listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey there, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday. You may be listening to this another day, but it's Thursday right now when I'm recording this. So I just want to say thank you. You know, it's getting almost Christmas. I was tempted to play some Christmas songs. And as you know, I just got back from Belize. And sadly, I say sadly because I've got to go to Vancouver, and which is a 4-hour drive. And through the mountains, I've just got to go and do a little bit of immigration work, which is not like my passion. So, you know, leaving my bed again so soon to get that done before Christmas. It's, you know, we're gonna have fun. We know that. But I just got used to my bed. Now I've got to go. You know, when I was laying in bed this morning, I normally wake up pretty early and do a little meditation, normally for an hour or so. And then this morning I was thinking about the fact that on our last trip, the great Nelson Mandela had passed away. And I just thought I'd do a little bit of a tribute to him and sort of explore a little bit about what the power that he wielded for such great impact on the world. And that same power is something that each of us have and have in spades. It's just that often we don't access it. But I thought before we may sort of mix this up a little bit of music, a few quotes, you know, and a little look at the life of Nelson Mandela. And again, it's not something I've spent a long time doing. It's just something I feel called to do. So sort of hang in here and have a look at really life Nelson Mandela's way and what are some of the lessons that we can take from such a great man, right? And really sort of start walking a path that can have great impact on those around us. But be first, let's have a little song.
Because this is Africa. This time for Africa. Listen to your God, this is our motto. Your time to shine, don't wait in line. Vamos por todo.
You know, one of Nelson Mandela's quotes says this. He says, man's goodness is a flame that can be hidden but never extinguished. So when I look at this, the impact that he had on the world, and I look at some of the things that he talks about, the things that were most important to him, the things that, you know, again, these human qualities that every one of us have in spades, and very few of us have the courage to step into, right? And so again, as we do that, you know, I want you to sort of start thinking about some of the things we explore together. You know, he says a good head and a good heart are always a formidable combination, right? A good head, good heart. You know, this is a leader who truly could use the word heart. And I mean, remember, this guy sat in prison for 27 years. So imagine, you know, being thrown in prison, incarcerated for what you believe in. And being able to come out and use the word like heart. And we're talking about not just being put in prison, but being put in solitary confinement and also being put into the quarries where they thought it was going to break his spirit by having him go to the quarries and you know, be able to crush these rocks and you know, that very act would wear him down so much that he would just not be able to be able to really, you know, move through that he would somehow be sort of locked in, and because they'd break down his physical body, it would break down his spirit. And of course, that never really happened, which was amazing. So, you know, I know that, you know, Oprah Winfrey sat with him. And one of the things that she really talked about was his humility. Imagine all the people of the world she's interviewed. And this guy comes to her, and I want you to listen to as they speak. This is a few minutes long, but just check out this conversation and how Nelson Mandela moved this person, Oprah Winfrey, with his humility. Again, something that all of us have in spades. And we'll explore a little bit of these things that you can start thinking about. Like, you know, how do I step into my life using Nelson Mandela as a guide?
How did you get the racist guards to treat you with respect? You're in prison, and you said, I will only respond to the name Mandela or Mr. Mandela.
You must fight the battle for dignity on the very first day you go to jail.
Really?
And that's what we did. We put our foot down and insisted in being respected, even though we're prisoners. And we eventually succeeded in that.
Eventually, I know they thought that sending you to the lime quarry and working on the rocks would destroy you, but it did the opposite. How so?
Well, I was in the company of great men indeed. Some of them more qualified, more talented.
Look at this, look at this. I mean, this is interesting. How she puts a question to him and how quickly he will just turn it back and put the light on other people. And, you know, I train a lot of trainers. I always say it's about making the audience a star. And his first thing, he says, you know, the fight, the battle of dignity, fight the battle of dignity. And I use a saying that says, you know, you got to teach people how to treat you. You got to teach people how to treat you. And that, you know, it's one of those things where in corporate settings, there's a lot of you who work in corporations or any in a family setting, friends, you know, it's that courage to be truthful and firm and yet loving, that sort of head-heart combination. So let's listen to him as he sort of wiggles around this conversation with Oprah.
...centered than I am. And to sit down with them, to exchange views, was one of the most revealing experiences I had. To sit down with those men and to exchange views, it enriched your own life. It fortified your morality. It gave you courage to do better than your best.
To do better than your best. How do you discover that? How do you discover to do better than your best? And I think it's a simple, I say that to people all the time, you know, if you want to get ahead in life, you know, just look at somebody that's doing something exceptionally well in your field. Who's the best in your field? And model that. Just model the everything about what they do and then just add that little extra. Add something on top and watch what happens. But to do better than your best, such a simple thing, but most of us don't even strive for our best. It's much more that we don't wake up each day asking ourselves that question. You know, what is my best? How do I live my best life? How do I step into a life that really will echo through eternity because of my presence? I mean, remember, I always think about changing the world. It's not about changing the world. It's about changing our own world. That's the only world that we know exists. If you shut your eyes right now and you're in, you know, North America, or if you're in Australia, or if you're in England, you know, you don't know what's going on with a family in Ethiopia, or a family in Uzbekistan or somewhere else like that. Their life is completely not in your radar. So the only life that we really understand exists is the one around us. That's how we change the world, changing the world around us. And that's what this guy did, whether he was in prison with that tiny one-room cell. He changed the world of his prison guard, who became one of his closest friends. And that's exactly the world that he was in. That's where he made his statement. And that's why he became a symbol and such a massive symbol of transformation in this country. Let's listen on.
The thing that was challenging was getting him to admit that he played the greatest role in the apartheid movement, because he kept saying, no, it wasn't me, it was all the other people. And I realized in that interview with him that is what true humility is. That's not just a, you know, like some people say, oh no, we've got to mention the other people's names. Oh, he was insistent upon not going forward with the interview without without including all of the other people who were part of the movement.
Well, I had said that you're one of the most humble, well, the most humble person I'd ever met. I will tell you that when Mr. Mandela arrived today, he said that our producer met with him in the room, and he said, "What is the subject of today's show?" She said, "Nelson Mandela, you are the subject of today's show." He goes, "Oh, all right." He's so humble that the very idea that he was going to be on for a whole hour was not something that he expected. You'd also said to me one evening, you said, "We made the brain dominate the blood."
Our emotion said, the white minority is an enemy. We must never talk to them. But our brain said, if you don't talk to this man, your country will go up in flames.
Look at that. I mean, it's funny because I know that one of his sayings is one of my favorite sayings. I don't think this is his, but, you know, I always say, you know, holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. And I know he says it quite differently. He says resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. But it's this wonderful sort of dance again, how he remember, just imagine solitary confinement, 27 years. I mean, some of you couldn't last 27 minutes, right? And there's this deep understanding of what he has to do as a human being to set an example. And especially in a place where he has zero freedom. And so sort of overcoming this DNA sense of hatred against the oppressors, as it were. And again, if you don't know the story of apartheid, when I was in South Africa, it was just after apartheid had ended. And but I mean, it was interesting, very, very interesting. But you know, imagine being in a country where, you know, the color of your skin dictated that you were a less than human being, less than, you know, your rights were less than. And they can be taken away, you know, without any justification at any moment, right? So here's a guy who's changing the world in his prison cell by changing his personal belief system. And you know, that's why I think great people do, is that, you know, we change internally. Our outer world reflects our inner world. His inner peace and the inner conversation created the bridge between him and his prison guard, all right? The prison guard would go home, I imagine, and talk to people about this great man. And while he was in prison, locked away from everyone, he became a symbol. And because I think what happens when people do the opposite of what you expect, it becomes something that's so powerful. You know, I always talk about that, you know, when if something happened to you and you lose your legs or you, you know, you have an accident or you get burned. I mean, you know, you can wake up and be resentful and angry and hate the world, or you can wake up as beautifully as you can and really just step into the tragedy and not make it a problem and just keep moving forward like many, many people have done before you. And that in itself becomes this unique wielding power of transformation of people around you. They see that you didn't succumb to the what is normal for most people, succumbing to the circumstances. His circumstance is locked in a prison cell, you know, but he didn't succumb to that. He didn't live that life. He led the life of a noble statesman whose very actions permeated from that cell and changed the face of a continent and the world, because this is one of the very few presidents in the entire world that could capture the imagination of every other country. Let's listen to this end of this interview.
And for many years to come, this country would be engulfed in rivers of blood. So we had to reconcile that conflict. And our talking to the enemy was the result of the domination of the brain over emotions.
Okay, I'm still trying to understand, though. You began the peace talk, and you end up coming out of prison, and there is no bitterness. How is there no bitterness?
Well, I hated oppression. And when I think about the past, the type of things they did, I feel angry. You have a limited time to stay on Earth. You must try and use that period for the purpose of transforming your country into what you desire it to be. A democratic, non-racial, non-sexist country. And that was a great task.
It's amazing to listen to, right? One of his quotes, he says, "We must use time wisely and forever realize that the time is always ripe to do right. The time is always ripe to do right." You know, a few things you may not know about him, right? He was considered to be a champion of the LGBT community, right? Lesbian, gay community. He wrote in 1996, the Constitution, he wrote that it says this: "The state may not unfairly discriminate directly or indirectly against anyone on one or more grounds, including race, gender, sex, pregnancy, marital status, ethnic or social origin, color, sexual orientation, age, disability, religion, conscious belief, culture, language, and birth." Imagine that. And living in Africa, one of the things I found fascinating was the idea that that you had the tribal unrest. So what would happen was, you know, you have people from one tribe, let's say, you know, you have the Cape Coloureds against the Zulus or the Xhosas. And because this sort of the animosity between the tribes was there, so it wasn't just a white black thing, although that was the worst thing. What I noticed was that there was a tribal disagreement constantly going on, you know. And so, I mean, to be able to bring people together in that kind of environment, and, you know, hatred does beget hatred. I mean, if you're living in an environment of hatred and self-preservation, you know, it does permeate all cultures. And imagine this one central figure, you know, sitting there and understanding his limited time on earth and saying, well, of course I hated oppression. Of course I was angry at what happened, but that wasn't what my task was, to create the world I wanted for myself and my children and my grandchildren and for this great country. He became a servant. So let's have a little listen to Toto. Here we go.
Like the stars that guide me towards salvation, I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, "Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you.
I want you to think about this. Imagine when he becomes president, right? And he, when he left prison, you know, he carried no animosity with him. But at his inauguration, he introduced his jailers as honored guests at his inauguration. The jailers as honored guests, and he took the pitch in the Springbok uniform, which was the Springbok was the rugby team that really, at the time, was a symbol of the white power of South Africa, at the time of the apartheid. And, you know, being able to have the courage to don that uniform and unify. He knew that his job was to unify the hatred that had been there for generation after generation after generation. And one man slipping on this uniform that represented so much division. And because he slipped it over his body and he walked out in the middle of the pitch with his uniform on, then he was able to unify a nation. And there was that great movie that you want to watch on that. I can't remember the name of it right now, but was pretty amazing. Another thing that a lot of people don't know, Mandela was on the U.S. terror watch list for 20 years. 20 years. You know, he was considered a terrorist, all right? So many great things. But again, what's the human aspect? Is this idea of forgiveness. The human aspect is the idea of compassion. And there's one of his sayings, I think it says something like this, that there's no passion to be found in playing small, in settling for a life that is less than the one you're capable of living. So let me say that again. There is no passion to be found in playing small, in settling for a life that is less than the one you're capable of living. Again, and so when we start sort of hearing these things one after the other, we start to get this real sense of what's really going on here. We got this sense of this great man and how he was able to shift a nation locked in a very small room where, I mean, I'm 6'3". I could have touched each wall with my arms, right? And, you know, there was a time, this is a simple acts, right? Because I'm a big believer in, you know, everyone's waiting for somebody else to go first. And he was at a concert by Johnny Clegg. And by the way, I'm not editing this. I'm not cutting. I'm not stopping and starting. I'm doing this as one flow, one piece. So it's a little scattered, but I get that. But it's just, I just want to, that's how I do my Thursday show. I don't try and edit it together and leave things out. This is just one shot, one deal. You're getting what it is, roar off the press. But there was this one concert with Johnny Clegg. Well, Nelson Mandela was a tribute to him. I won't play the whole song, but this is towards the end of the song. And Nelson Mandela walks out halfway through the song and starts to dance on stage. And he's trying to motion to the audience to dance with him. And I want you to listen for these, it's going to be a couple of minutes in here, what happens. First, we'll listen to a part of the song. And then you'll listen to him address the audience and what he asks and demand of the audience. This is the president of a country, no less. Listen to this. In the video, he's just big smile, right? He's smiling and he's dancing and he's looking at the audience like a young boy. He's motioning, stand up, let's dance. So the audience is in awe, right? And they're waving and clapping. And so the singer comes up and thanks him and just says, you want to say anything? You want to say anything? So he's about to ask that of him, right? You want to speak? And you, yeah, like, and here he goes. He said, no, no, it's yours. And then he realizes, I'll say something. Watch what he says. Great president of the country.
Well, it is a music and dancing that makes me at peace with the world. And at peace with myself. But I don't see much movement at the back there, you know? I would like us to join. Let's just repeat it.
Okay. So he's motioning. I'd like us to join. Please repeat the song. And now the band's going to go out there and play the song over with everyone dancing. Dancing, enjoying, and now the whole audience is up on its feet dancing with him. What a great leader. That's so easy to do. You know, I was just emceeing a wedding in Belize. And, you know, the idea of grabbing people by the hand. I said, come on, you know, old ladies, young kids, and just dancing. But everyone's waiting. These things we can do in every moment. These things are things that each one of us can take from his book. And say, you know, this is to love and to be loved, to forgive and to walk a path of passion and light, you know, and really understand that he's in control of how he feels about any situation. You know, and he talks about education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. And I'm not talking about formal education in school, but surely educating people on what the truth is, being a shining light, you know, it really is. I know it sounds a little woo-woo, a little bit of a shining light But, you know, another thing he says, everyone can rise above their circumstances and achieve success if they are dedicated to and passionate about what they do. So again, these simple, simple things, right? So, you know, as we sort of start winding down the show, I want you to be thinking about this. And maybe as I have this tribute to the great man, Mandela, and I feel remiss in some ways that I haven't done this sooner. There's a part of me that has been, what's the word I'm looking for? Has been inspired to live a greater life because of him, watching him, and his story influenced me a lot, you know. And when I think of his command over his own feelings toward the world, people, his calling to rise up from the ashes and say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm just going to love people through this. And I'm not going to make it about me. It's always, he says, real leaders must be ready to sacrifice all of their freedom. He says, real people must be ready to sacrifice all for the freedom of their people. And that's what he was willing to give everything away and sacrifice it all for his people. And I think there's another thing we can do is live a selfless life. You know, how do we wake up in the morning and have that kind of feeling where, you know, we are so, where we're so present, I suppose, to what's really going on. You know, sorry there. I was just trying to find another song because I was thinking about Paul Simon just then. And when Paul Simon went over to do Graceland, the DVD Graceland, he took all of the sounds of Africa and sort of compiled them into a story. And I was just thinking of, there's that one song, it's called Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes. And just listen to the way it's this combination of this sort of African tribal music with Paul Simon and then the message in within it. Here we go.
Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of your shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, you've taken me for granted because I please you. Wearing these diamonds. And I could say, ooh.
You get that, get that song and listen to the first part. It had where the most, you heard it when I first started with that kind of the African choirs behind. So, anyway, another one of Mandela's great quotes, he says, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. So, you know, we're getting toward the end of the show here, and I hope that you've enjoyed this little tribute to Nelson Mandela and to sort of the idea that the qualities I feel that made him great are the qualities that every one of us possess. You know, he wasn't the brightest guy. You know, he had a normal life. You know, it wasn't like he was one of the first in his family to go to school, but he wasn't this, it was no different from everyone I know here. It was just his choices, how he chose to live, both before, when he was a freedom fighter for his country, he decided to fight for something he believed in, which was wrong. And then after his 27 years, when he became president, you know, the fact that, he was the first, South Africa's first democratically elected president in 1994. And his idea, though, of uniting both the country's racial groupings and the fragmented public service, you know, excuse me, I've got a little bit of a cough going on here. So Anyway, so this is, again, if we look at these things, I want you to sort of start thinking, you know, what is your legacy going to be? And how do you use the simple things you have right now, which are in your power, to truly live an extraordinary life, right? So I'm going to play a little song here. And this is from Graceland. Here we go.
I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War. Tennessee, I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. And my traveling companion is 9 years old.
I had a little coughing fit there, so I had to get a song on really, really fast so I could cough. But actually, I was gonna, this is what I was gonna play, Under African Skies. Here we go, keep the theme going.
To remember, this is the powerful pulsing of love in the vein. After the dream of falling and calling your name out, these are the roots of rhythm, and the roots of rhythm remain. Tucson, Arizona, give her the wings to fly in harmony, and she won't bother you no more. This is the story of how we begin to remember. This is the powerful pulsing of love in the vein. After the dream of falling and calling your name.
I want to leave you with one last quote from the wonderful Nelson Mandela, as I remember his life and give him gratitude for the impact he's had on mine. He says, I am fundamentally an optimist. Whether that comes from nature or nurture, I cannot say. Part of being an optimist or being optimistic is keeping one's head pointed towards the sun, one's feet moving forward. There were many dark moments when my faith in humanity was sorely tested. But I would not and could not give myself up to despair. That way lays defeat and death. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the show. And I hope that you start to look at these people that inspire you around you, people whose actions are easy to model, they're easy to follow, and that in which ways that we do, when we do have the courage to follow them, that we do have an immediate impact in the world we live in, the world that's part of us, and we can change it. So with that being said, I'll see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.